You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news, analysis, and everything else from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Well, guys, it's been about a week since our last episode, and I apologize for that. Certainly, it's not our intention to go this long between new episodes, but I think I have a pretty good excuse. Over the weekend, my house was hit by lightning, causing a small fire and a large amount of damage. Everybody got out of the house safe and sound, but there was extensive damage to the house, like I said. As you can imagine, the last few days have been pretty hectic, and I haven't really had time to do anything with the podcast till now. I'm not sure what the schedule is going to be going forward, but for today we do present you with a new interview with Matt Kremnitzer. He is a writer with Camden Depot, and you may recall he was the very first guest on Locked On Orioles back in February. He and I had a long discussion about Chris Davis, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now again by Matt Kremnitzer. He works for Camden Depot. Matt, I want to ask you about Chris Davis. Joel Sherman of the New York Post recently wrote a column in which he mentioned kind of offhand that Davis may now have the worst contract in all of baseball. And when you look at the details of how bad Davis has been this year, how much he struggled the last couple years, and the fact that the contract runs through the course of this season and then four more seasons after this, it's kind of hard to argue the point, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the easy winner, I think, when you look around the league. This is the worst he's been, I think, since he's been with the Orioles. He's not getting on base. He's not hitting for power. He's not really doing any of the things that you think of when you think of Chris Davis at the plate. He's not even hitting the ball hard. I was looking at the numbers earlier. He's still pulling the ball a lot, but he's hitting the ball a ton on the ground. He's not getting the ball in the air and driving it. And considering the rest of his contract, it's already starting to look like an albatross.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's very concerning, I think, if you're a fan. Because, like I said, I mean, we know this 2018 Orioles have gotten off to, we know, a really bad start. Things have been bad all around. But the reason I think Davis is particularly concerning for a lot of fans is that his problems are going to go beyond this season, right? I mean, there are some, I mean, Chris Tillman is not really going to be an issue beyond this year. He may not even be an issue in a few weeks. We don't know. Some of these other things, you know, we're going to we're going to be rid of some of these players, even if they're replaced by guys who aren't a whole lot better. They're not going to be guys who are, you know, we're paying huge contracts to. The problem with Davis is that he's on the books for four more years after this year. He's not going anywhere. It's completely, the contract is completely untradeable, right? I mean, there's nowhere for him to go.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone would want to take on this money, even if the Orioles would. I mean, they'd have to eat a significant amount of it, but there's just, he's not going anywhere. He has to be on the team. And he's, you know, people like to think the face of the franchise is either Machado, you know, for the rest of this season until he probably leaves, or Scope, who could be a free agent at the end of next season. But it's really Davis. He's the guy that they chose to pay all this money to. They chose to pay money, you know, the most money they've ever paid anyone around a 30-year-old first baseman. And he's already starting to decline way faster than they had to ever hope that it would happen. And that it's happening now is really bad. They need him to produce it. How do you paint the picture of them competing in 2018 with Davis, Scope, Jones, Beckham, all those guys struggling? I mean, you can't do it. If Davis is hitting like this, they're in significant trouble.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, I mean, the numbers are just brutal for Davis. It's not just, like you said, that he's not hitting, you know, he's not hitting into bad luck. He's just not hitting the ball very hard. And if Chris Davis isn't hitting the ball hard, it's hard to see that he has any value at all. I mean, hitting home runs and doubles, that's really where his value is. You know, traditionally his on-base percentage had been okay, but he's never been an average hitter. He's never been somebody who has a lot of speed. So really his value has been in bashing the ball, and he did that quite well for a long time. But, I mean, I think, you know, as we record this, I think he has one homer on the season, one double. I know that's it in terms of his extra base hits. And we're, you know, a couple weeks into the season at this point.
almost 3 weeks into the season for a first baseman whose calling card is power. I don't see how you go on much longer with him as your first baseman and expect anything except to continue to these offensive struggles we've seen.
Yeah, the only question is, right now is, well, there's two things. First, you can, still try to comfort yourself and say it's still early. It's only 16 games. Maybe he'll get out of the funk when the weather warms up. And the other thing is, as the season goes on, if he still hits like this, does he become a platoon player? Do they only use him against right-handed pitching? Do they drop him further in the order? There's only so much you can do with the way the roster is constructed and how much money he's making. He has to be on the team at some point. He has to play somewhere. He's not just going to sit the bench and, not do anything. So you have to hope that he hits. And if he's not hitting, June, July, does he become a platoon player already this early in his contract?
Yeah, I was looking at his platoon splits, and obviously he's not been good from either side of the ball, but he's been particularly awful against left-handers. I think he's hitting below 100 against left-handers, including his one homer on the season, by the way. But but when you talk about making him a platoon player, it's not like he's that much better against right-handers. He's hitting 1-something, I think. So it's really hard to see, that he has any value at all. I think he's got negative WAR at this point. My fear is that he's just done. He's done as an effective major league hitter, and that this is, maybe his numbers will come up a little bit. They're not going to be quite this bad, but I don't think they're going to be something that's acceptable for a first baseman in Major League Baseball in 2018. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to be optimistic about it. And if he is done, it's just it'll easily go down as one of the worst contracts. And considering how the Orioles don't like to spend money, big money on pitching, maybe this affects how they give out big contracts in the future too. So again, maybe it comes down to, not the best idea to make your significant signing a first baseman.
And the talk around this contract when they gave it to him following the 2015 season was, was that really this was a Peter Angelos thing, that I don't think Dan Duquette was necessarily inclined to give Chris Davis a 7-year contract, and clearly nobody else in baseball was. So it seems to me that that the conventional wisdom that Angelos is the one who really pulled the trigger on this is probably accurate. What do you think?
Yeah, it does seem like an Angelos-driven thing, because Boris was talking directly to Peter Angelos. I believe someone reported, I think it was John Hyman, that the Tigers were also involved and they were interested in Davis. I don't know to what extent, if they were willing to go 7 years. I'm not sure what the report was. So there was some, other bidding for his services. It wasn't like they were bidding against themselves necessarily. But, it doesn't make it look any better now. He still looks like he might be done. And, again, if that's the case, that's just a really bad thing. And like you mentioned before, he's the one guy who's under contract for, four years down the road. This is their building block. It's not really great to think about.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder what ultimately is going to happen. I mean, if this is indicative of his level of production at this point, and again, maybe he gets closer to what he was last year. Maybe he's not going to be quite this bad all year. But even then, he's really not a good player if he's hitting what he hit in 2017. And my suspicion is he's not even going to get up to that level. I mean, how do they do this for 4 more years? Like I said, he can't be traded. And at some point, do they just have to eat the contract and release him? I don't know. I don't see that happening. But it's hard to imagine what he's going to be on this roster in 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's still so early in his deal that, like we were talking about before with being a platoon player. I mean, that's what they had to do with Ryan Howard towards the end of his deal. But this is just awful. Again, the only hope is it's a small sample size. Maybe when the weather heats up, he figures something out. But there's really nothing positive about it right now other than you just have to hope that it's better.
Yeah, and it's interesting. What we looked at when we saw what happened this offseason with free agent contracts and teams seemingly unwilling to give big contracts out the way they have in the past, it leads me to believe that maybe this goes down not just as the worst contract currently, but it's going to be a while, maybe never, before we see anything like it again. You know what I mean? I think teams have become maybe too smart. Even the Orioles maybe have become too smart to give out this kind of contract again.
Yeah, I hope so. But then again, Eric Hosmer just made a lot of money too. Who right. knows if his contract will end up, you know, going the same way that Davis does. But you're right. We might not see such a big deal for a first baseman in the future, but someone's always willing to spend, it seems like.
Yeah, it is remarkable that nobody seems to learn from history. It's like you mentioned the Ryan Howard one, which was in a lot of ways not nearly as egregious as this, because Howard at the time he signed it was still pretty productive. But even then, people looked forward and said, this isn't a guy who's going to necessarily age well. And, of course, they ended up being right. And Davis, when he signed, I think that was definitely the case. It's just a really bad situation for the Orioles. And I don't know. Like I said, I think I just can foresee him taking up a roster spot for a few more years, but not really doing much of anything. And then it's really going to handicap their ability. Now, of course, the other thing we said is they're going to have a lot of other contracts coming off the books. So maybe that helps them a little bit. They'll have a little more money to spend even with this albatross of a contract. But, yeah, it's just hard to see how wasting a roster spot on Chris Davis in the coming years is going to be anything but bad for the team.
Right. And meanwhile, you know, while he's struggling, someone like Trey Mancini, who's actually really a first baseman, you don't really want him in the outfield. He's still hitting well, but he's also kind of playing out of position. So it messes with the rest of the roster too, because you also have Mark Trumbo and Pedro Alvarez. Alvarez is one of the guys who's actually hitting right now. So you have a lot of first base types, and the guy that they're actually playing at first base is the guy who's hitting worst of all of them.
Yeah. And that brings up the question too, Trumbo, when he comes back, where does he just slide into the DH spot again? Or what does that mean for Alvarez? There's, like you said, just a ton of questions, because I think I've certainly talked about this with a number of people, and I may have talked about it with you the last time you were on, but the Orioles just seemingly always have like a lot of left fielder, first baseman, DH types, you know, more than they can really handle. And of course, Chris Davis being on this long contract just makes that something that's probably going to be the case for the next few years at least.
Right. Yeah. If I had to guess, I'd say when Trumbo comes back, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's almost about to come back anyway. He still has to go and, you know, finish his rehab assignment when he's able. But I would guess that might mean the end of Danny Valencia on the roster. But again, that might be a month away, so it doesn't really matter right at this second.
All right. So just looking at the team in general then, I mean, we know they've struggled offensively, and that's maybe been one of the bigger surprises. I think everyone knew the pitching, certainly starting pitching, was going to be an issue. Are you surprised that the Orioles have been so inept offensively this year?
Yeah, I never thought they would be this bad. I didn't think they were near the top in the American League in terms of offensive, you know, run scoring and everything, but just only a few guys have been good. Alvarez, Machado, Mancini, and Cisco. Those are really the only guys who have hit well. Jones, Scope, Valencia, Santander when he was playing regularly. Gentry has been okay. But Beckham and Davis, even Caleb Joseph. Caleb Joseph, unfortunately, has been, you know, worse than anyone on the team in hitting. Just you can't have all those guys be bad at the same time and expect to score a bunch of runs. So, again, like we were talking about with Davis, are they going to keep using the weather as an excuse? I know Adam Jones was saying it doesn't matter if it's cold, everyone has to play in it, and he's right. So either they start hitting or they don't. You know, whether the weather heats up or not, they're going to have to start heating up, and they need Scope back, and they need him to produce.
Yeah, and of course, meanwhile, you don't get these games back, even if the team does start hitting a little better. I mean, they've gotten themselves in a hole. I think they're, as we talk, they're like 9.5 games out of first place in the AL East. I mean, partially that's because the Red Sox have been insane, but it's also because they've been bad. And, you know, I don't think anybody thought they were going to win the division, but, you know, even the wild card at this point looks like a complete pipe dream. Do you think this makes it more likely that they are going to make some moves at the deadline?
It should, though. I mean, they're being outscored. They're 5-12, and they've been outscored by 37 runs. That's the most in the American League. And I think that's what bottom three or four in all of baseball. So it's hard for them to say it's a fluke. They might just say, you know, they just have a bunch of guys who are underperforming. But what they look like right now is just a bad team. So if they're still playing like this in a few weeks, I mean, not selling would be just a horrible idea. They have so many guys who, you know, are going to be free agents next year. If they're really this bad and then they still don't sell, then they're just being stubborn. So again, there's still some time, but all they look like right now is just a team that's not very good.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point too, because I mean, we who have followed the Orioles for a long time have seen bad baseball teams, right? And we know it. We know it when we see it. And I think a lot of us have that feeling when we look at this team. It reminds you of a lot of those teams you saw, you know, between 1998 and 2011. Yeah, just you knew from the beginning this team isn't doing anything. It's just there's nothing going on here. And I think that's the feeling I get with this team anyway. I don't have any sense that things are going to get dramatically better. I'll put you that way.
Yeah, it sure. I don't want to be too negative, but it does seem like it might be over. When you factor in, you know, what happened at the end of last season, just that awful finish to the season, and now it's continuing. You know, there's only so many positive things or saying like, oh, only so-and-so needs to play better, when it's more than half the team. So again, if they are really this bad and they keep playing this bad in the next few weeks, then almost anything should be on the table. Machado, maybe Scope, if he's back healthy. A lot of these guys are fan favorites, but they might not be on the team for much longer, and they need to do what they can to add more talent to the system. They have the farm system doesn't rate really highly, but you know, with a few trades, they can add a lot of young talent to the system, and you know, maybe energize things for the next couple years. Austin Hayes is close. Cedric Mullins, Ryan Mountcastle, those guys might come up at the end of the year, depending on how things go the rest of the season. So again, if this is the team that they are, and they don't, you know, start making moves around June or July, then it's going to, you know, raise a lot of questions of what exactly they're doing. Why are they going to let these guys walk? Hopefully they don't do that.
Yeah, Scope is an interesting one because, like you said, you know, mentioned Machado. That's kind of a no-brainer. If you're going to make trade, he's going to be gone at the end of the season anyway. Scope I don't remember exactly when he becomes a free agent, but is it the following year? Has he got 1 year left after this?
Yeah, he's a free agent after 2019.
So yeah, that's an interesting one because you would think if they were looking to trade him at the deadline, you know, they might be able to get some, you know, decent prospects just because he's got another year left, right? And he's not quite, it's not
right.
Quite as obvious as Machado, but it would maybe bring you back even a better return because you're giving a full year of him. And that would be a tough one too, like you said, because I think he is kind of a fan favorite, but if you're tearing down, you got to really tear down. And that's not my feeling. It's a guy who's going to be gone after next year anyway. Like why not go ahead and get some prospects for him now when you can, and just accept the fact that the team, you know, you can be a bad team with Jonathan Scope, or you can be a bad team without him. And it's like, you know, if you might as well be a bad team without him and some prospects in the system.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not really fun to talk about tearing down the team. It's way more fun, you know, during the recent run under Showalter and Duquette of winning. But then again, Showalter and Duquette might not even be around after the season. And they do have some interesting chips. You know, if Britton comes back and looks good, he's someone they could move. They can move Brock, who's a free agent after this year anyway. They could end up moving Jones if that's something they want to do. He'd have to approve the deal because of his 10-5 rights. But they do have some trade chips, but it all depends if they deem it time to do so. And do you want Duquette to be the one who's, you know, restocking the farm system? You know, what's Showalter's role going to be? Is Brady Anderson the one pulling the strings? There's so many question marks to this team. One of the question marks seem like, you know, they're a very good team. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll let you go, and maybe we can get back together again in a month or so, see where this team stands and kind of assess what we think at that point.
Yeah. I hope they're playing better. I don't want to see this team tear down, but you can't ignore it if they're just this bad, and it's hard to watch. I hope some guys start hitting again. At least, you know, Bundy, Mancini, Alvarez, some of these guys have been really good, but it's really cool to see how good Bundy's been. Unfortunately, it's not helping the rest of the team.
Yeah, and it's really disheartening to see him, I think, 0-2 or whatever he is, which, you know, we know pitcher wins don't mean much, but still, when you see somebody
right.
who's been truly been one of the best starters in the league, and he's, you know, nothing to show for it in the win column, that's kind of disheartening.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, Matt, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.